If we gather unto ourselves, no man can question you. But Lord, you have chosen to abide with us. And for this we are grateful. For this we are thankful. Daddy, please accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Jehovah, as we look into your word of life this morning, Father, I pray that, Lord, you are the revealer of secrets. Daddy, reveal the secret things from your word unto us today. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are the spirit of truth. Reveal the truth of the word of God to us today. In the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory already. For in Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Please, let's put our hands together for the choir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please, keep encouraging them. Keep encouraging them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We applaud you. We appreciate you. God bless. If you don't mind, please remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read our text. Our text this morning is taken from, thank you. Our text this morning is taken from John chapter 14. And we're going to read from verse 1 through 18. Amen. John chapter 14 from verse 1 to 18. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Some other translation says, you believe in God and also in me. So it's not a separate thing he's saying there. It's all one and the same. You believe God, you believe me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Somebody say he's coming back again. He's coming again. He's coming again. Say, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way, ye know. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known the Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Verse 8, see, Jesus had some, I want to call them cantankerous disciples. Philip responded in verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Somebody say, that is good. That is comfort. He said, if ye shall ask anything whatsoever in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Verse 18, and the last verse for reading this morning, says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may please be seated. Before I go any further this morning, I want to recognize the presence of one of our senior pastors, our mommy from all the way from New Jersey. She was attending a conference here in San Antonio, and she said, well, enough of conference. Sunday, I'll go and fellowship with my children. And she's here with us, Pastor Mrs. Coker, all the way from New Jersey. You're welcome, ma. You're welcome, ma. So very glad to have you with us, ma. So today we're continuing the series that we started a while back. And what we're doing with this series is we're doing a systematic study of the book of John, starting with John chapter 13. Because from John chapter 1 to 12, Jesus had a public ministry where he was doing all kinds of things, miracles, signs, and wonders, and all of these things. But from John chapter 13, he pulled his disciples to the side. And from 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, he began to assure his disciples. And I believe this is important for us to know, because whatever he did for them back then, right now we have pulled ourselves from the rigmaroles of life. We have pulled ourselves from the hustling and bustling. We have pulled ourselves even from the rat race of the world, and we have set ourselves apart this morning unto the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is here with us this morning. God is here with us this morning. So what Jesus said to them back then is saying to you right now. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because that is comforting. Amen. So the assurances he gave to them back then is given to somebody here this morning. And that is myself and one or two people. If you are one of the two, you can shout hallelujah. Amen. 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 So in our previous study in chapter 13, we learned that there are two prerequisites for us to enter into God's promises. Amen? And the first one we saw is love. The Bible tells us in John 13, verse 1, it says, having loved his own, he loved them to the very end. And we saw that the love of God for us is an everlasting love. Amen? God loves us in spite of us. Amen? It says, come as you are, but he doesn't want us to remain as we are. But he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son for your sake and for my sake. All right? So the first thing we see is a requirement for love. He said, love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a prerequisite for the promises that God has made to his church, that God has made to his disciples, that Jesus has made to his disciples. And the second thing we saw is humility. In John chapter 13, we saw Jesus after supper, after dinner, the Bible says he took off his garment and he took a towel and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. And he says something very interesting to them. He said, not what I have done to you. He said, you call me master and you are correct because I'm your master. I'm your Lord and I'm your master. He said, if I, your master, can stoop and wash your feet, he said, I want you to do the same one to another. What he did when we talked about this, we saw humility. It takes humility for a superior to bend all the way down and begin to wash the feet of his subordinates. And you have no idea what their feet looked like. But we're not talking about their feet today. It was really dirty. Believe me, it was really, really filthy. They've been walking in the desert and everything. So we saw two things, that we need love and we need humility. And my prayer is that God is already working these things out in our lives. And as we begin to highlight the promises from today, I want to say something real quick to us. It's a thought I want to share with us, and I want you to think about it. Think about this. What we are doing, the scripture The Bible is based on real life evidence and stories. Yes? Yes. Many of us in the church, we have held on to the word of God and we have seen certain things happen in our lives. True? Yes. Since you have given your life to Christ, you have observed the work and the hand of God upon your life. You can testify. In fact, because we believe in this so much, that is why in this church we have dedicated one Sunday to testify, to show the proof of our claim that what we have said he can do, he's doing actually. So here's the thought that I want to share with you. Listen to me. If you refuse to believe something because the evidence is faulty, you refuse to accept a claim because the evidence is not good, that is the wise thing to do. Yes? That's the wise thing to do. In fact, it is honoring to God that you refuse to believe that thing because there's no evidence for it. Yes? If you refuse to believe, or I take that back, if you believe something in spite of poor evidence, that is foolishness. Yes? Yes, yes, that's foolishness. Amen? If you believe against all odds, you know that this thing will not work, you decide to believe and do it, and then it goes bad. Who do you blame? Oh, just yourself. Amen? The third thing is this, and this is where it really applies to us. You see the claim, you see the evidence, and you refuse to believe. I think that is just totally immoral. That's just immoral. For you to be, you have seen evidence, you have seen proof, you have had testimonies upon testimonies. In fact, in your own life, there is evidence. And you still refuse to believe. That is immoral. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, it says, if after we have believed, if we choose to go back to sin, it said there is no more redemption for such a person. Can you please pull it up so that we can read this exactly as it is? Hebrews 10:26. It said, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. It means such a person, in the light of evidence, somebody is calling you, in the light of evidence, refuses to believe. He said, nothing else can be done for such a person. So I want us to bear this at the back of our minds as we proceed carefully today. Today, what I plan to do by the grace of God is we're going to talk about 6 promises, and then we're going to talk about why we are possibly not living in the reality of these promises. And by the grace of God, after that, we'll be done. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, all the promises that God has made to you and I, they are yea. Yea means yes. All the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea, and in him, they are amen. So the promises that we are going over today is not for your information. Hello? It's not information. It's not just mere information. It's a reality. It is what God has promised you, and it is what you can live by and live in. Somebody say amen. 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 This is good. Hebrews 10:23 tells us something, that the one that has promised us is a faithful God. Let me tell you how I think about the faithfulness of God, and I have come to appreciate the faithfulness of God. Think about this. People that are physicists, people that know about the earth rotation and our relationship with the universe and all of these things, they have told us that the earth is sitting at a particular angle, yeah, and is revolving at a particular speed. If you tilt it a little bit off angle, everything will be ruined. Ask yourself this question. What is stabilizing it and ensuring that it's going, is remaining in the angle that it's supposed to remain, is rotating at the speed that it's supposed to rotate? Can you imagine if the earth is going 100 miles an hour? We'll all be flying, yeah? We'll be flying. It will be like you are in a centrifugal cylinder. You know, we'll be flying. But in the faithfulness of God, the things that we cannot even wrap our minds around, he has put them in place and is ensuring everything is working fine. He said, heaven and earth may pass away. His word will never pass away. Amen? It says, anytime you see the rainbow, it is telling you something about God. Amen? When you sleep and you wake up and you see the sun, it's telling you something about God. God is a faithful God. The one that has promised unto us is a faithful God. And believe me, if you are not experiencing those promises yet, some people are. Amen? So the fact that I don't have it does not make God a liar. Hallelujah. And that is why we are looking at this today. The first promise we are going to look at is in John chapter 14 and verse 1. John chapter 14 and verse 1. And it says, he made a bold declaration to his disciples. One of the things I want to remind you that we talked about in the beginning is the fact that Jesus, at this point, is about to go to the cross. You have to understand the story as a whole for you to know what is going on here. He's already told them that he's going to go to the cross. He's going to die for their sake. And as he was preparing and saying these things to them, remember when he said it, Peter said to him, said, no, you're not going to die. He said to Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, I'm trying to give you good information here. You are refuting. You think it's pleasurable for me to go to the cross? I myself am doing this in obedience to God. Amen? So all of them are troubled. They are all wondering what is going to happen to us. This Jesus that has fed us, this Jesus that has defended us, this Jesus that has housed us, this Jesus that has clothed us, this Jesus that has given us significance and eminence in the society is going to leave, and we're going to be alone by ourselves. And he said to them, the first thing he said to them is, let not your heart be troubled. Listen, a synonym for promise is assurance. So a promise is an assurance. Amen? He's assuring them here. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be troubled. Many of us, we have had our hearts troubled before. Yes? All liars will go to hell. Amen. Everyone, perhaps there are one or two people here this morning who are even troubled in their hearts. I don't know what it is. It might be a family situation. It may be a child situation. It may be a job situation. Whatever it is that is troubling your heart this morning, remember the assurance of Jesus to his church. Let not your heart be troubled. You see, this is how I like to read the scripture. When I read it going forward, then I take a step backwards, and then I want to reflect in the opposite direction. If you said, do not let your heart be troubled, it's giving you an assurance that at some point your heart will be troubled. At some point, your heart will be troubled. But he's saying that you have believed God, believe also in me. Why? Because I am able to fix every situation. I am able to take care of every situation. He said, you are believing God, believe me. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. You know why? Because he is there with you. In the book of Hebrews, he said to us, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Have you noticed how children, a child that has been bullied in the past, daddy goes to school with them. And when they get to school, you know, and they see the one that has been bullying them, you think that child will be afraid? If that child is afraid, there's something wrong with the child. he probably doesn't think the father loves him or her enough to defend them. But a child that knows that my father loves me, and he knows that this Otis that has been bullying me, my dad is with me today, guess what he'll be doing? He'll be provoking the guy that has been bullying him. You know why? Because he knows my dad has got my back today. There's nothing you can do to me. Why? Because daddy is with me today. How many of you know that daddy is with you today? Oh, you don't sound convincing. How many of you know that daddy is with you today? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, therefore, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be troubled. You know, and I want you to understand that it is not unrighteous because your heart is troubled. Many examples in scripture. We see Abraham. The Lord made a promise unto him. The promise was taking too long. Abraham's heart was troubled. That is why when the wife suggested to him, go in with my servant, he didn't think twice. He just said, okay. He didn't say, oh, no, that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said it's going to be you and I. No. He didn't go into any conversation. Why? Because even himself, he probably was thinking about it. But he didn't want Mama Sarah to feel bad. So he just pretended that, okay, we are believing God. His heart was troubled. And that is why God came and appeared to him. He said, Abraham, the promise I have made to you, I haven't changed my mind. And God took him and said, come out, Abraham. He said, look up in the sky. And he looked. He said, begin to count the stars. And he started counting. One, two. God saw his frustration. He said, stop right there. He said, as many as the stars of the sky are, so shall your seed be. What do you think God was saying? God was giving him an assurance. God was reassuring him that promise, I haven't changed my mind. I want you to know today that the fact that you are going through trouble does not mean God has left you. Hallelujah. The reason you are going through is so that the name of the Lord can be magnified and glorified in that situation. In John chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says they saw this man begging alms by the roadside, blind from birth. Can you imagine? Everybody knew him. He was blind from birth, right? And the disciples of Jesus are walking with the Messiah. They are walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The I am that I am, the maker of the heavens and the earth. They are walking with him. They have seen his miracles instead of them pleading and saying, Master, heal this guy. No, they turned his life into a conversation. They were going to have a seminar. They said, Master, by the way, why was this man born blind? Is it because he sinned? He was not born yet, but he already sinned. Is it because he sinned? Or is it because of the sin of his parents? Jesus said, no, none of that. He said, this man was born blind so that God can be glorified. God will be glorified in your life. I said, God will be glorified in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Number one promise is, do not let your heart be troubled. God has your back. God has my back. And I trust in this. In the name of Jesus. Very quickly, number two. Number two, when you go to John chapter 14, and we read verses 2 and 3. John 14, 2 and 3. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know what I call these two verses? I call them the forgotten gospel. Amen? I remember back in the day, you know, when I just gave my life to Christ, it just seemed like every other sermon you hear is about the rapture. In fact, it's a surprise to some of us that rapture has not taken place yet. You know, because they made it, it was front and center in our heart. It was not something that was at the back burner. Do you believe that Jesus is coming back? Oh, friends, he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back to take with him those that have been faithful and true to him. The church of God is sleeping, and not just sleeping and snoring. The church has gone to sleep. The church today, you cannot tell a difference between the church and the world. If somebody walks out from the church and somebody else walks out of the pub, of the club, you can't tell the difference. We dress the same way. We look the same way. In fact, in some cases, we talk the same way with the world. But friends, I'm telling you that Jesus is coming back for a church without blemish. Jesus is coming back for a church without wrinkle. He's coming back for a church without spot. You know, the religion that we are playing today has nothing to do with God. I told you before, churches are looking for members. God is looking for disciples. Amen? And the churches are looking for members, but God is seeking disciples. Disciples are distinctly different from church members. Distinctly. The way they walk, the way they live, the way they talk, their priorities in life, everything is different for a disciple. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back to take you. And where I am, you will also be. This is telling us that you and I, we must live our lives ready. Mommy, it's important that we live ready. It is very important that we live ready. You know why? Because it says when he's coming, he's going to be like a thief in the night. John chapter 10. He said when he comes, he's going to come like a thief in the night, unawares. You know, some people are saying, oh, let me do it, I'll repent later. Oh, really? I pray you will have enough time to repent. Because nobody knows the hour. Nobody knows the time. You know, and it is a dangerous thing for you to compare yourself with other people. You say, he did it, nothing happened to him, and so you're going to do it. I go to prepare a place for you. Friends, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, listen close to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. It says, if in this world only we have hope in Christ, we have all men most miserable. That is telling you, the second promise, by the way, is life after death. It's telling you, after this life, when we check out, man, there's another life. There's another life. There's another life. Will I qualify to reign with him in that other life? Or will I be left behind? You will not be left behind. And I will not be left behind. In the name of Jesus. Very quickly, let's open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to read from 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18. Very quickly, please. Our time is up. Say, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. He's talking about those that have died. Said, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, listen to this, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Well, you can stop here. Listen to me. It's telling us very clearly that this Jesus that left and we have been talking about for the past 2,000 years is coming back. Amen. What a glorious day it's going to be. What an awesome day it's going to be. The Bible says, as it's descending down from heaven, there will be a loud trumpet of the archangel. There's going to be a proclamation that will be exciting for some, but sorrowful for some. It's a promise that he has made. It's a promise. He said, I am going away, and the reason I'm going away is because I'm going to fix a place up for you. Listen to me. In America, to build any kind of house in America, max 6 months, right? And by the time you see the house, beautiful, beautiful. Wow, you live here? Wow, this is beautiful. Well, the place that the Lord is preparing for you has been fixing it up for 2,000 years. Nothing will cause you to miss it. You will not miss your place. I say you will not miss your place in the mighty name of Jesus. But brethren, too many people are distracted by temporal things. Things that don't last a long time. Listen. The Bible says in Luke 18:8, it said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth?" If you look around you today, except you are not a careful observer, you'll be sorry. You'll be very sorry with the situation of things. I shared some deep thoughts with the ministers this morning. Some things I cannot even begin to share with you right now. Very troubling things about some things that are happening in the church. Just this morning, one of the ministers was telling me that a seventh grader got pregnant. Seventh grade. How old do you think a seventh grade is? My daughter is in seventh grade. She's 12. Is it even conceivable in anybody's mind that a 12-year-old is having sex? In today's world, yes. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. The Bible says that some sins that cannot be mentioned amongst Gentiles are mentioned in the church back then and today. Some things you hear about church folks. I was asking my wife, I said, what exactly did God deliver us from? If folks are living like this, do you understand what I'm saying? Because salvation is a deliverance from something. Yes? Yes, it's a deliverance from something. If we have been delivered and we are living the life we used to live in this new life, then what were we delivered from? It's a food for thought. You know, if what I used to do, I am still doing now, then what exactly was I delivered from? What is the value of my salvation? What is the value of the blood of Jesus? He said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Very sonorous, right? So what exactly have we been washed from? When we think about our lives, just take a moment and reflect on your life. Say, where you are today, what can you claim the blood of Jesus has washed away from your life? From what exactly can you say you have been delivered from? Friends, in the life after death, there are two things that will happen. A is a reward. B is punishment. The reward will be a place in heaven with Jehovah, and the punishment will be in the lake of fire. The third promise, very quickly. The third promise. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen. How many of us, you were driving and you got lost before? I still remember very clearly when we just came to San Antonio. That was 10 years ago. You know, there were no GPS 10 years ago. I know that for a fact. You know, just MapQuest. You know, so you have to know exactly where you're going, have the address, and then plot it. So my wife and I, you know, we said, let's take a ride around. And I'm the type that I claim to know the road. You know, if I see something, you know I've seen it. I can figure. I don't like asking for directions. I'm a man. Thank you. You know, so we were driving. Believe me, honestly, I'm telling you the truth, and I lie not. I still cannot remember how we did the driving, But we did the driving. We went around, went through downtown, and came down through downtown a second time. So I told her, I said, we're in another town. I said, this is the downtown of another city. You know, she believed me. Yeah. Husbands, you know. So, okay, honey. And she was pregnant with, did I say 10 years ago? That's not possible. It's more than 10 years ago. We had Tommy here. Tommy is already 12. So, and do the math for me. 2002. 12 years ago. Thank you, man. 12 years ago. You know, we drove and we, I said, babe, we have left San Antonio. This is downtown of another city. But Jesus says, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. The Bible says he will make a way in the wilderness. Amen. If you have ever been in a wilderness, you don't want to see ways in the wilderness. If you see ways in the wilderness, it doesn't help you any. Because if you see four, five parts, parts going, one going this way, one going that, you'll be confused. You'll be confused. He says, I am the way. He is the way to peace. He said, my peace I leave with you. He said, the peace I give you is not as the world gives. It's the peace that passes all understanding. My peace I give to you. He is the way to peace. He's the way to peace. And the one we all are seeking after. He's the way to prosperity. Third John, there's only one chapter, verse 2. Third John chapter, verse 2. Let's pull it up quickly. Third John, verse 2. Help me now. Did it freeze? Say, and you will prosper as your soul prospereth. Uh-huh. Even as your soul prospereth. He said, he's the way to health. He's the way to life. He's the way to peace. He's the way to prosperity. He's the way to those things that we are seeking very dearly and we don't have. But guess what? We have left him. We seek for peace in other things. Some people seek for peace in the bottle. They drink. Say, oh, you know, the way I deal with my pain, I just, well, once I drink, I sleep, I forget my trouble. When you wake up, it's still waiting for you there. And what I say to such people is, keep on living. You keep on living, you keep finding it there. Amen? Jesus, he was bold to declare. He said, I am the way. Amen? If you are lost, come into me, you will find the way. If you are confused, come into me, you will find the way. Amen? Jesus is the way. Stop running around. Too many people running helter-skelter, up and down. Life is like a maze to them. And if you are not careful, life can become like a maze, really. You are seeking the very best for yourself and your family, and it seems like it keeps eluding you. You know why? Life is tough. Life is difficult, but not in Christ. It says, I am the way. I am the way. I am the way to life. I am the way to heaven. I am the way to the Father. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. He is the way. Why don't you preach that to your neighbor? Say, he's the way. He's the way. He's the way. Too many people are looking for answers in the wrong places. He says, I am the truth. Somebody say that. I am the truth. He's the truth. He's the truth. He's the truth. And he has given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called what? The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. If you wait on the Lord, he will tell you unbelievable things. He will tell you unbelievable things. You know, there are certain things that God tells me about some of us in the church. If I told you, you would think somebody told on you. Amen? And recently I was speaking to one of the members, and I told her, I said, you have not told me something new, because God told me already. And I told my wife then, I said, babe, this is what is happening. But the best I can do for you really is to pray for you. Amen. You remember the story of Lazarus, the beggar, and the rich man? You remember that story? The Bible says they died. Lazarus went to heaven, and the rich man went to hell. That is not to say rich people go to hell. You know, you can be rich and go to heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, Jesus was not poor. Amen? Right. So, and the rich man saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. He said, tell him to bring me some water. He said, no, there's a gulf between us. We don't come from over here, over there. He said, you rock it over there while we are rocking it over here. Amen? He said, the torment is too much. He said, please send messengers to my folks so they can live a different and better life than they are living now. He said, if they would not listen to the pastors and the prophets preaching to them, like I'm preaching to you right now, ain't nothing going to happen. Amen? He said, nothing is going to happen. When they die, they will find out. Amen? I told you that billboard that I saw last year, that's why images are important. Make sure you are saying the right things. Amen? I cannot get that image out of my mind. He said, when you die, you will see God. Amen? Because there are some people that don't believe there's God, right? He said, but when you die, in death, there are no atheists. Everybody that dies is faced with the reality of life after death. And there's no atheism or agnostic and all those mess after death. No. There's nothing like that. Everything is as clear as day. Everything is as clear as day. And he is the life. Number four promise. Very quickly. Number four promise is greater works. Verse 12 of John chapter 14. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Number one promise is what? Don't let your heart be troubled. You know why? Because you have Jesus by your side. The Bible says your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is abiding with me. Because I know the Spirit of God is abiding in me, there's no reason for me to fear, Yinka. Because God is with me. I know that. I know that for a fact. Number two is life after death. There's a life after death. And Jesus, to assure us of the life after death, he said, I am going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back to come get you. You know, and that's so amazing for me, because he didn't say there is life after death. When you die, you will figure it out. No. He said, I'm coming to take you there. It's going to be our escort. It's going to be our guide to show us that, well, Melanie, this is your mansion. Busayo, this is yours over here. And while we are talking about that, Adekoye, this is your mansion over here. Before you say things about other people and forget yourself, you know, Adekoye Sonny, let me say very clearly, Adekoye Sonny, this is your mansion over here. You know, it's going to be thank you. I know you love me. So number two is life after death. Number three is what? Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Number four is greater works. Friends, everything that you have read and known about Jesus, he said you can do the same and you can surpass it. It's a promise. And the one that has promised, April, he cannot lie. He can't lie. He's true. He's the Almighty. And we have seen his promises come alive in our lives in many different areas. Yes? at least today I am saved. Today you are saved. That's a promise that he made unto us. Amen. It says, greater works than this you will be able to do. Everything as you read about the great works that Jesus did, he said you will do greater. Somebody say, I will do greater. I am going greater. I am getting better. I am moving forward. In the name of Jesus. Friends, you got to believe God. Let me tell you, there's two things that I've seen as a big problem in the church today. And it's not so much fornication and adultery. Those are problems. Amen? Two things that I've seen as a bigger problem in the church is, number one, disobedience. Number two, unbelief. Amen? If you are defiant to the Spirit of God, you will commit fornication. If you are defiant to the Spirit of God, you will commit adultery. If you are defiant to the Spirit of God, you will lie. If you are defiant to the Spirit of God, nothing good, bad things will not face you. You will do it, and with a straight face, you say, did you go there? And you went. You say, oh, no, go, no, I didn't go. You don't have a lying face and a truth face. It's just one face. The same face with which they lie is the same face with which they tell the truth. So you are just confused. You can't tell any difference between the two. Praise the Lord. Disobedience is a big problem in church. And it's not starting with us. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, when you get home, read it. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1, the Bible says, and the devil, Satan, provoked David to number the people. He took a census. Census is a good thing, no? We do census in America. He numbered the army so he can prepare for war. But God told them, don't number anything. Know that I am the Lord your God. I am able to defend you. The Bible says Satan provoked him to number the people. Guess what? By the time you get to verse 14, the Bible says 70,000 men died. The things you do don't stay with you alone. It affects other people around you. Remember Achan? They said, oh, the gold and the things, they belong to God. Nobody should touch it. He took one and grabbed it and put it under the table. And with a straight face, he was smiling. Said, did anybody take anything for who took what? No. We don't take anything. No, we're good. We're good. Because of him, a whole nation lost a battle. Because of that one man. In church, every Sunday, they talk about tithe. Hey, tithe is to honor God, honor the Lord with your soul. With a straight face. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Disobedience. Disobedience. And unbelief. I have seen that many believers don't believe God. And we live like it. We live like it. Our lives, the way we live, is a clear announcement and declaration that we don't believe God. We can't act in faith. We can't be moved by faith. He said, just... Where is he? Let me see. Unbelief. One of the reasons we are not able to do greater works is because of those things. Disobedience and unbelief. But from today, I pray that we begin to do greater works. I say we begin to do greater works. In the name of Jesus. Very quickly, let me just mention the last two. I'm totally out of time. But I'll make sure we finish by 12:30 and close. Number four is answered prayers. Number five, I'm sorry, answered prayers. Verses 13 and 14, it clearly declares that you will ask whatsoever in my name and I will do it for you. Verse 14, it says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That is the promise from God. But guess what? If I don't ask, I'm not getting anything. That's what James said. He said, you receive not because you ask not. He said, and then when you manage to ask, you ask amiss to fill your lust. Answered prayers. And finally, he promised us the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 said, I will not leave you comfortless. Amen. Verses 17 and 18, even the Spirit of truth, he said he will give unto us. But very quickly, I want us to see some of the reasons why we are not able to live in these promises. Amen. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Please, if you are writing, you have to write fast. Number one is murmuring. Murmuring. Disobedience. Doubt. Unbelief. Murmuring. The Bible tells us when you get home, you can read in Numbers 14, when you read from 26 to 38, Numbers 14:26-38, and if you can pull up Numbers 26:65, I want us to read that. Numbers 26:65. What's going on? This is... For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. So there was not left a man of them, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. In Numbers 14, God made a declaration. He said, as you have said in my ears, so will I do unto you. They complain. They say, oh, no, God can't do this for us. Ah, no, this is too difficult. This is too hard. No man can do this, this and that and that. He said, exactly what you have said is what you are going to get. And God saw to it. They perished in the wilderness. Friends, even if you are not sure, just be quiet. Amen? There was a man that brought his son to be healed by Jesus. His disciples tried, nothing happened. And when Jesus came, Jesus told him, do you believe? He said, sir, I believe. Please help my unbelief. Amen? The very fact that he went to Jesus, he should tell you something, he believes. Right? But he said, just in case I'm still second down, guessing myself inside of me, he said, yes, I believe, and please help my unbelief. Friends, be careful what you say. I was sharing with the workers this morning. We must be imitators of God by the words that we speak. Some people are where they are today because of what they have said yesterday. Amen? Amen? Number two, disobedience will cause us to miss the promise. Disobedience will cause us to miss the promise. Remember Moses. God told him, speak to the rock. He hit the rock in his anger. Guess what? He saw the promise, but he couldn't partake of the promise. Achan was already in the promised land. He stole. Because they got to Jericho. Jericho is part of the promised land. He stole. Disobedience. He missed the rest of the promise. Number three. You know the story of Eli and his sons? God said to Eli, he said, Eli, because you have honored your sons over me. He said, those that honor me, I will honor them. Those that don't honor me, I will hold them with light esteem. Are we honoring God today? Is God important and significant to you? Can you say God is priority in your life? Can I say God is priority in my life? When you read 1 Samuel chapter 2, when you get home, read 27 to 36. 1 Samuel chapter 2, 27 to 36. God said all the things that he had promised to them before, but then he said to them, he said, be it far from me, verse 30. He said, I have said this priesthood will continue in your generation on and on and on. He said, but because you have dishonored me, he said, be it far from me. That is not going to be the case again. And God shifted. from Eli's family and shifted to Samuel. Did you know that Samuel is a descendant of Levi? Nothing unrighteous about it. Go and study genealogy. Go and study genealogy. His replacement was right there. Little boy. He said, you honor your sons more than me. I will hold you in light esteem. Friends, let's honor God. Let's honor God. If he has made a promise unto us and is the one that is going to deliver on the promise, then we must honor the one that gave the promise. Number four, very quickly, the love of money. The Bible says, no man can serve two masters. It's either you serve one and leave the other. All right? You love one and hate the other. Remember Judas Iscariot. Because of 30 pieces of silver, he betrayed his master. He was supposed to be one of those heavy-duty apostles. Remember, it was one of the 12 that Jesus washed their feet. Right? It was one of the 12 that Jesus sent 2 by 2 to go pray for people, and they came back with testimonies. But he lost the promise. He lost the promise because of money. Money is not everything, folks. Money is important, but money is not everything. Number five, and the last point, and we'll rise up. Let's rise and we'll close on this. Number five, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Do you love the world more than you love God? Please bow your hearts. Bow your hearts and pray to God this afternoon. I want you to make a fresh commitment to God this afternoon. I will take a song and sing that song prayerfully. Say, come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Lord Jesus. It's a very simple song. I'm sure we know it. Come in to my heart. Come in.